This morning, my son sent me a picture from his house, and he said, look how God protected our house. And I guess had some kind of a bad storm, and he has a lot of big trees in his yard because he lives in Georgia. And this big 30-foot branch fell and missed his house by like that much. And then he said another tree got snapped in half. So I said, prayer works. Because I'm sure he does, but I always pray for my house. And that God protects it and watches over it. And that's what God does. So just thought that was kind of cool. Oh, hello.
It's just my tablet.
Uh-oh. So anyway, so I brought up my son because last week I was talking to him and he did this teaching and he was telling me about it and it kind of inspired me. So I thought I would teach what he taught, and it has to do with what God tells us to do with our heart. Now, I've taught on heart before. I'm sure you all have been here maybe for some of those. But God gives us very specific instructions concerning our hearts. And this is very important because of a couple of things. Number one, the heart is the center of our life, our being. And number two, it's out of the heart that we believe. It's from the heart that we believe. So just those two things alone makes you have to think about how important your heart is, meaning the heart of your life, not your physical heart. That's important too, obviously, but the center of your being. And so I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 4 because it talks about the heart. And the first thing, God says to do things and he says not to do things with your heart. I'm not going to really look at the negative stuff too much. But if you get out of concordance, there's a couple of hundred uses of the word heart in the Bible and a lot of them have to do with this stuff. But it does say a couple of things about heart, and we're going to look at them. But first, in verse 20 of chapter 4 in Proverbs, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Pay attention to my words. Then it goes on, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. We're to keep God's word, not just in our heart, but in the midst of our heart. So if the heart is the center of our mind, it's not just supposed to be in the center of our mind, it's supposed to be in the center of the center. Kind of interesting to think about that way. And then it goes on to say, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. If you find the words of God, it says it is life and it is health. Well, that's a pretty great thing to have in your life, right? When you keep the word of God in the midst of your heart. Then it says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So that kind of sets up what we are to do with our heart. We're to keep it or guard it. The word keep is the word guard or watch over. With all diligence, with everything you have, you're supposed to guard your heart. And that's an interesting thing because there's so much going on in this world, right? And we get bombarded with so much information from so many different sources. You listen to the radio, you watch television, you go to the movies, you look at your phone, especially your phone or your computer, and you get bombarded with all kinds of stuff. Well, what's the filter you put on it, and what do you allow in, and what don't you allow in, and how much do you allow it in, and for how much, or what do you do with the downtime of your mind? Do you just let it wander, or do you keep it under control? We're to keep our heart with all diligence because out of it are the issues of life, the important things that matter to us, the passions in our lives and the desires and the things that we hold dear and the things we're committed to. That's what we hold in the heart of our life. So we know why it's important in this sense. It's the issues of life and it's where we believe. But it says some other things. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 17. And God says some very interesting things about man's heart. And this is one of those things it says not to do. Okay? Chapter 17, verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm," or strength. The word arm refers to strength. "And whose heart departeth from the Lord." You know, we're supposed to trust in God, not in man. And that's tricky sometimes also, because we have to do certain things. So, you know, if you put your money in the bank, you're kind of trusting the bank, aren't you? But we're to trust God. God's, you know, really our sufficiency and strength. And he's going to take care of us regardless of the bank or the government or the economy or the stock market or famine or, you know, we don't ever think about famine, but, you know, it could happen. It's happening in other parts of the world all the time. So we're to trust in God. We're not to trust in man or our own strength. And then it goes on. Let's go to verse 9. And it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Wow, that's a shock. But man's nature is a sin nature, right? We're born with sin nature. And if you don't have anything to temper the heart, if you don't have anything to keep it under control, it will be deceitful. I mean, we deceive ourselves lots of times, don't we? We lie to ourselves, or we tell ourselves things that aren't true, or, you know. But the heart is deceitful, and so we have to guard against that. We have to temper it. We have to keep it under control and keep it in line with God's word. Right? That's what we have to do. And it says, "Who can know it?" And it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So the nature of man's heart is deceitful and wicked. You know, a lot of people say, well, mankind is good inherently, and that's not true. Mankind is not good inherently. Mankind is screwed up. And so the only thing that can help it is, you know, civilization kind of keeps man under control, but, you know, barely minimal. You know, it's the morals and what is right and wrong, and that comes from God's word. It comes from God's word. It's simple as that. So, knowing that, let's go to Genesis chapter 8. Say one more thing about the heart, and it's how screwed up it is. Chapter 8 of Genesis. And verse 21. This is after Noah gets off the boat. We know why the flood came, right? It said that God was, that man was evil in every imagination of his thought. And, you know, there was great violence in the earth. And so he decided to stop all this horrible stuff going on. But there was one guy that obeyed God and was upright in his eyes, and that was Noah. And he saved Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives. And so they get off the boat. And verse 21, it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor," because Noah had given a sacrifice. "And the Lord said in his heart," that's interesting, God says in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done." So, we could read verse 22, but you could read it on your own sometime. But so what's he saying here? He says, man, from youth, the heart is evil. And again, the only thing that changes that is that, you know, we put God's word in there. We discipline the mind and we train the mind to listen to God and believe God and do what we're supposed to do. So let's go to Psalm 27. So the heart has to be trained and it has to be guarded with all diligence. God tells us what we are to do with our hearts. So we're going to look at some of these now. We looked at the negatives. We might hit a couple of more in here, but mostly it's going to be what we should do. That's a lot more fun to look at. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay, so if you're going to keep your heart with diligence, you want your heart to be strong, right? And it says here to wait on the Lord. And the word wait is a word that it's in the imperative. You know what the imperative is, right? It means it's a command. You know, do this or thou shalt do this. It's in the imperative. It says wait. And the word wait means to hope, to trust, implying firmness and constancy of mind. To wait for, to expect anything, and to wait steadily and patiently till it is effected. Meaning, you know, you look to God and what he says, his promises, and you hold on to those things, and just because you maybe don't see it the next moment, you just keep looking to God. You keep trusting God. You keep holding fast to what he says. And it says that if you do that, he will strengthen your heart. That's pretty good, isn't it? It's a pretty good promise, a pretty good deal. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, just to look at that real quick. You all know this verse. And then we're going to go back to Psalms, but just wanted to put this in here. I should have put it in before. Romans 10, verse 10 says, for with the heart, the word heart there, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here, this is where it tells us that we believe in the heart. It's in the depth of our being. It's not just off the top of our head. You know, because lots of times we'll agree to things. Or I love it when you teach or you tell somebody something, the truth of God's word, and they say, oh, well, yeah, I agree with that. Well, I would hope so. You know, I agree with that. Well, good. I'm glad, because it's not me. It's you're agreeing with God. We're to agree with God. If you disagree with God, then you probably have a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, now, sometimes God says stuff and we have to rearrange our mind, right? We have to say, wow, okay, I have to change my mind about this so that I agree with God. Because our natural tendency sometimes is not to agree with God. Or, you know, we have something in our brain, we think we have to do this or we have to be a certain way or certain things have to go a certain way. And that's not always true. You know, and God says differently, so then you have to change your mind. You know, he says, love our enemies. Well, got to change your mind. Let's go back to Psalm 119. This is a great verse. Blessed are they, Psalm 119, verse 2. Everybody there? Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. And the word blessed is the word, it means happy. There's two different words in the Old Testament, at least two anyway, that one means blessed as in blessed, and another one means happy. And this one means happy. So, you know, people always want to be happy. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to be happy? Everybody wants to be happy, right? Well, here's the way to be happy. It's to keep his testimonies and seek him, God, with a whole heart. That means with all you have, with your whole heart. You know, a couple of weeks ago or last month, taught on loving God and, you know, we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, we're to seek God with all our heart. And when we seek God with all our heart, he says, we'll be happy. That's a pretty interesting... How many books are written on happiness?
Yeah.
Just go into any bookstore or go online and look for self-help books or how to be happy, and you'll see dozens and dozens, and every week a new one comes out. It's one of those things that people write about all the time, because people are always looking for happiness, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And usually they're looking in the wrong places. So happy. Happy is he that seeks God and keeps his word with his whole heart. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And verse 8. The statutes of the Lord, meaning the word of God, right? The statutes of the Lord are right or just, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So, God's word rejoices the heart. You know, you want to have joy and rejoicing? What does it say in Jeremiah 15:16? It says, I have found thy words and did eat them, and they have become the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Right? That's how we have joy in our lives. That's how we have happiness. We put God's word in our heart, in our mind, and we seek God with our whole heart, and we'll be happy and we'll rejoice and have joy. So these are two simple things that we can have in our lives, in our heart, if we just put God's word in there and seek God. Joy and happiness. How many people spend enormous amounts of time, energy, and money trying to find joy and happiness? You know, and it's free. It's free. That's amazing. It's probably the greatest thing, you know, you get a new car, you get new clothes or something that makes you happy for how long? You know, until somebody bangs your car or the clothes go out of style. Gee, man, a lot of you maybe remember, some of you don't remember, Nehru jackets. They were in style overnight. And then they were out of style. And people went and spent money and bought those and were so happy to be cool wearing them for about 2 days. Because then they were, oh, I wouldn't wear one of those. Or double knit leisure suits. Yeah. They were good for about a season. And that was it. Just funny. People just do all kinds of crazy things that they think will make them happy. But seeking God's word, putting God's word in your heart, making it the joy and rejoicing of your heart and life, and seeking God with your whole heart, and you'll have joy and happiness. Wow, what a thing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. So God tells us what to do with our heart, and he tells us several things, and it affects our hearts and our lives in a very beneficial ways. So Proverbs chapter 2. In verse 2, also said it would enlighten your eyes, right? Meaning give you better understanding of things. Chapter 2 of Proverbs says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. We're to apply our heart to understanding. Understanding what? Well, God's word and God, you know, and that's part of seeking God, isn't it? It's to want to learn about him and to know him. One of the reasons he gave us his word is that we could know him, so that we could know how to have a relationship with him and how to receive the benefits of his love and grace in our lives. Let's go to chapter 3 of Proverbs. This is a series of verses here, and then the results of what it says. It says, so in verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The heart, again, keep the heart, or the heart is to keep the commandments. We saw in Proverbs 4:20, whatever it was, that we were to keep the word in the midst of our heart. Right? Here it says, keep my commandments in thine heart. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, that's a nice benefit, right? They shall add long life and length of days. Length of days means your days will be full and rich and blessed. And long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, long life is an interesting thing because, you know, We know that sometimes people fall asleep at a younger age. Well, I don't know everything about this. So the way I think about it, and this is just my opinion, I'm not saying the word says this, we just know that because of Adam's sin, man's blood is impure. And we understand today a little bit about genetics and DNA. So there is, as far as we know, we're programmed to live a certain amount of time. Now, you may live to the full amount of that natural life, or you may not. So, you know, it could be 50 or it could be 100. Nobody knows. But I know that if I believe God, if I look to God, if I do what God says, I'm going to live a long life, however long that may be. And the days in of my life that I spend, if God is first in my life and I'm seeking Him, they're going to be full of joy and happiness. Okay. So, yeah, I'd rather have 50 years of joy and happiness than 80 years of misery. Okay, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Speaking of God's word, let mercy and truth let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And where do we learn about mercy and truth? From God's word, right? And we are to bind them about our neck. It's a figure of speech. And we are to write them upon the table of our heart. I mean, it's supposed to be engraved on our heart. Engraved. And then it says in verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Well, that's a nice benefit. You know, you're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Then verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with how much? All thine heart. And you know, sometimes that's really hard, isn't it? Sometimes that's hard because situations and circumstances come up and you go, oh man, what am I going to do now? Trust God. And you know, but the world's fighting to tell us not to trust God. It's trying to tear our heart away from God continually. And so you have to fight with all your diligence to keep your heart and to keep it focused on God and to trust God. You know, God gives us promises. Trust in those promises. He says He's our sufficiency. So if He's our sufficiency, He's our strength. He's our sufficiency. It says He's our strength. He's our salvation. He does all those things for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know, He'll give you the answers. Trust in Him. You know, sometimes we just, when we're confronted with something, we just want to try to figure it out as fast as we can, and we forget to put God into the whole thing. You know, instead of just going to God first and saying, okay, God, what's the answer? What do I do? I know a couple times when our boys were young and a couple of things happened to them and, you know, Stevie was having problems when he was 2 years old, 3 years old, okay. When we were in New Hampshire. Yeah. And they said, well, we got to do a bone scan because his legs were hurting. And so Stella had to take him to the hospital and stay overnight with him. And so I was going to the hospital to meet him, and I just prayed. And I said, God, what's the deal here? He said, he's fine. He's okay. And so when I went there, I said, Stella, there's nothing wrong with him.
He thought it was leukemia.
Yeah, or something stupid. And it was nothing. And it just, he sat a weird way. He would sit on the floor, and he would spread his legs out like that. I mean, it was very weird. And we had to stop him from sitting like, or tried to anyway. But, you know, God, you know, you ask God and He gives you the answer. He tells you. What a great God. So He shall direct thy paths. He'll give you the answer. He'll show you the way. He'll tell you what to do. Let's go to chapter 6. Verse 20 of chapter 6.
Chapter
kind of the same thing. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp and a law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are a way of life. You know, God's word will show us, it will give us direction, it will be a light unto our path. It will help us, and it'll give us direction, and it'll keep us. It'll keep us safe and peaceful. You know, when we go to bed at night, we'll be peaceful. We won't be bent out of shape and nervous and worried and all the other stuff. Let's go to chapter 15. These are what we are to do with our hearts. Pretty cool, huh? Lots of things. I mean, I'm only hitting a few of them. There's hundreds of verses about the heart. And a lot of them are, you know, either do this or don't do this. I'm sure you can think of a few. This is a great one. Most everybody knows this. Verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. You know, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You know, when you're cheerful, when your heart is merry, you're bright. You shine. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. I don't know why I put that in there, but... Well, actually, I skipped over. Verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. That's pretty cool, isn't it? A continual feast. I don't know if that's literal or figurative, but... You know, continual feast means what? You know, plenty. You have a lot of good stuff. Let's go to 17. Proverbs 17. Of course, Proverbs is a great place to look at this. There's some stuff in Ecclesiastes and Jeremiah and Isaiah. And certainly a lot in Psalms. I didn't get into a lot of the Psalms, but 17 of Proverbs, verse 22. A merry heart doeth like a medicine. A merry heart. You know, I heard several times different places where people, one guy was really sick and they told him he was going to die. So he bought all of the Marx Brothers movies and watched them and was healed. He got better. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? A merry heart. Yeah. But, you know, a merry heart, you know, when it's, we just saw how to be happy, right? When you seek God with your whole heart, you'll be happy. You'll have a merry heart. A merry heart doeth like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. That's descriptive, isn't it? Drieth the bones. There's a promise to Israel in Joel about, I think it's Joel, where God's going to raise up the bones of the dead of Israel and give them meat again. Yeah, it's pretty creepy, actually. Okay, Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 26. And here's one you're not supposed to do. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. I put this in there because one of the great messages of the world today is trust your heart. Follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you. Well, if you want to get in trouble, if you want to destroy your life, if you want to get screwed up, follow your heart. That's the greatest way to screw up your own life. What does it say? It's amazing. It couldn't be any more clear. He that trusteth his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He'll have He'll be rescued. He'll be saved. He'll be delivered. And to walk wisely is walk. You know, the beginning of wisdom is the respect and fear of God. Right? Okay, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 11. We'll look in the New Testament. It's not just in the Old Testament. Matthew 11, verse 29. This is a really cool one. I thought about it because it's used sometimes very wrongly. Verse 28, let's read that. Come unto me. This is Jesus Christ speaking to the people that are gathered. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ is saying that to people. You know, if you're heavy, you got heavy burdens in life and you're worn down by the world, he said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. He said, learn from me. Learn from me. What is he? He's meek and lowly of heart. It means he's humble before God. He listens to God. And that's how you deal with things in life. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Wow, that's great. Rest unto your soul, your soul life, your physical life. It'll be rest to you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's light because it was light for Jesus Christ because he always listened to God. He always obeyed God. He did his very best for God. He guarded his heart and he put God's word in his heart. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. So I thought that was pretty cool from Jesus Christ, what you should do with your heart. A meek and lowly heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. No, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's stupid. And this has to do with giving and receiving, but it has to do with the heart. And it says in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, we're to purpose in our heart, but we're to purpose what? To be, not give it under obligation, but give it cheerfully. That's what we're to purpose in our heart. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. verse 18, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, that's pretty cool. You make melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, We're to sing and make melody in our heart, giving thanks to God for all he's done for us.
God bless you.
Pardon me?
She sneezed.
Oh. It's great. It's a great way to live. You know, you just go through life and you're praising God in your heart and your mind and you're thankful. Philippians. Verse chapter 4. Did I say chapter 4? Verse 6. Everybody knows this verse too. Or you should if you don't. Be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, you want to have the peace of God in your heart? and it tells you what to do. Don't be anxious, but pray to God with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, according to what he says, you know, we can pray for and what we can ask for and what he will do. And it will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will keep them. It will guard them. You know, we're to guard our heart with all diligence, but then as we go to God, he helps protect our heart, doesn't he? He strengthens our heart. We saw that too. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, and when it says let, what does that mean? Allow. You have to allow it. You know, it's you have to do something. You have to allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts. Have dominion in your heart. So it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Yeah. It's a great thing to cultivate the peace of God in your heart. You know, when you're peaceful, you handle things better. When you're peaceful, you think better, more clearly. When you're peaceful, you can hear from God better. You can hear him when he speaks to you. So being peaceful is a big deal. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Okay, chapter 3, verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And that sounds pretty good, but I looked at the working translation and it reads like this. May the Lord guide your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. That's kind of better and a little more easy to understand. May the Lord guide your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Let's go to James, chapter 5, Hebrews, James. This is another interesting one, and I'm going to read you the working translation of this one also. But it says in verse 8,
what chapter?
Chapter 5, James chapter 5, verse 8, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Okay? And so in the working translation, he says, you too, be long-suffering, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Pretty great. Okay, 1 Peter, chapter 1. I know you have these all cataloged in your mind. You're going to run right home. You're going to make sure you do all these things that God says you to do with your heart. Probably already doing a lot of them, but still in all, it's a cool thing to think about. Mm-hmm. It's a cool thing to see, and, you know, just when you read the Word and you look at stuff, just pay attention when the word heart comes up. Chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now that's something we're to do in our fellowship. We're to love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's pretty nice. And chapter 3. And it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And the word God should be Christ, the Lord Christ. But sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. So here, you know, to sanctify means to set apart. So we're to set apart the Lord Christ in our hearts. He's supposed to have a special place in our hearts. So that's just some of the things I saw that we are to do. Just one or two things we're not to do. And one of them was don't follow your heart because you'll be a fool. Nobody wants to be a fool. But we're to guard our hearts. We're to apply our hearts to seeking God and His Word and putting it there and keeping it in the midst of our heart. So what a great thing. So as you read the word, you know, pay attention when you see the word heart, because there's lots of great things that God says about it. And it's a very important part of our life. It is our life. That's where the issues of our life come from. So Father God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for what a great God you are and how you show us these great gems of truth and that there's so many benefits as we guard our heart and as we apply our heart to loving you and serving you and seeking you, and that as we do it with a whole heart, you just bless us in so many, many ways. We just thank you for a great day ahead and for a great fellowship. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.